good morning.
Good to see all you happy, smiling faces this morning. Can't think of a better place to be this morning than be here and to be happy and be blessed by the Lord, right? And make some announcements here this morning. We got Vacation Bible School t-shirt orders will be provided for all volunteers and children. See Michelle Jenkins for color choices. Provide her with your size and color by Sunday, April the 20th. That's today, right? Today. See Michelle. Order it a little extra big. They run small. And you watch them, they... Senior Saints Ministry meeting tomorrow night at here at church at 7 p.m. Friends and Family Day next Sunday. Invite all your friends and family to this special day. Following the service, there will be luncheon and a food sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. See Francis Keyser with any questions. I think there's a sign-up sheet back there on the table, too, isn't it? Okay, all right. And Deacons WMA meeting Tuesday, May 6th at 7 p.m. Church business meeting Wednesday, May 7th at 7 p.m. Then Wednesday, Bible study, instead of the Bible study, Eddie Heath, the director of missions for Mid-Tidewater, will be here and give us a presentation on the Mid-Tidewater Association for us considering uniting with them. And, of course, if you don't already know, this association here, the Rappahannock Association, has been dead for quite a while. In fact, there are already five other churches in this association that have united with Mid-Tidewater. And Men's Fellowship Breakfast, Saturday, May 17th at 8 a.m., in the fellowship hall. All church men encouraged to attend. Sign up sheet in the fellowship hall. We do a lot of eating here. In fact, we ate last night. We had a we had a wonderful spaghetti dinner and fellowship and a wonderful movie. It was quite enlightening. The Forge. I forget the title of it, but it was a good story. So anyway. Yes, ma'am.
For our Friends and Family Day next week, we're also having special music done by Jackie DeLosier and a couple of his friends that he goes around to different churches and they do concerts and things. So please come out and support them. They'll be singing during the worship service next week. And we'd love to see all of you here. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Or Jackie, stand up and give us a speech.
Hey, I'd like a couple praises in the house. We have a couple of birthdays today. Cindy Balderson and Alice Swift share the same birthday. But we have an anniversary in the house. The Ruse's anniversary is today. George and Doris's anniversary. Happy birthday. Happy anniversary, guys.
All righty. Now, Shelly, you had some.
And if you sponsor one, we try to set them around where you sit. So if you miss, look around. It's probably close by. You can get it near you. We thank everybody for the support on that. Also, just a reminder that at the end of every month, I do print a bulletin. And so I've done it. I'll do one draw right now. And it's two-sided. So you'll have this for the next 2 months up there. Just a reminder.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anything else? We get it all? All right, we're going to take some fellowship here for a few minutes. I'm going to ring the bell, then you get up and welcome your neighbors, and I'll ring it again. You'll have to sit down. All right, so welcome your neighbors. Welcome your neighbors this morning. Okay. You may be seated. I think I told some of you Wednesday night, but I'll tell you all this morning. A lot of you met my oldest granddaughter was here last Sunday. She came, spent the weekend with me and came to all the services and everything. And she said she liked this church and she wanted to come back. She had a good time, and she says she's glad that y'all are taking care of me. So. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time to be here in your house, to give you the worship and praise, to give you all the glory for all the great and wonderful things that you do for us, especially the gift of eternal life. And we pray that we, as we celebrate that in worship today, and we celebrate all the wondering, glorious things that go on in our lives because of you, and that we honor you in a special way today, and to honor you as the one true living God who is the greatest of all. And thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we come. Amen.
good morning. Our first praise hymn this morning is number 5. I sing praises. Number 5. Then we sing. Sing both verses.
Good morning, everybody. I wish that once you guys would have a chance, just once, to stand up here and look out at the beautiful smiling faces. It is such a joy to be in this church. Kids, why don't you come forward for a minute? I think it's just you guys, which means we can have a personal conversation that nobody else has to hear. You guys look nice today. Did you guys coordinate? Yep. I love it. Tell you what, you sit there, I'll sit over here. How are you both doing? Did you get enough sleep last night? You did? Collins, you still look like you're a little tired. I will confess, I'm a little sleepy too. I did not sleep well. I had a reaction to some medicine I'm taking, and it caused me to scratch and itch and be up all night, and I'm not in the best mood when I don't get my sleep. How about you guys? Are you in a good mood when you wake up and you didn't sleep well? Probably not.
I went to sleep in 5 minutes.
5 minutes? That's awesome. So I gotta ask you a little question. You don't have to share with everybody. Do you have a stuffed animal or a pet dog or a cat that you sleep with? It's okay. You don't have to say anything if you don't. I tell you what, I do. I've got a little puppy dog that's about 9 pounds maybe, and she cuddle up right next to me. And before I go to sleep, I say, okay, it's time to say our prayers. And we say our prayers together. Taylor, you were saying you have something? Yeah.
Sometimes my puppies
play
in my lap.
Yeah, sometimes your puppies will do that. I love that. Well, you know what? In the Bible, it tells us that we should be good about getting some good sleep, because sleep's important to us. It also tells us we should not get too much sleep, because that's being a little lazy.
Yeah, and you won't get sleepy
Yeah, that's right. The next night you don't sleep as well, do you? So God tells us lots of good things. You know, Jesus used to go off into the wilderness by himself to catch up on his rest and to say some prayers nice and quiet to his Father. And I think that's the way we should do. We should think about making sure we get plenty of sleep and so we're in a good mood the next day. Now, it's also important the Bible tells us to do something special before we go to bed, before we go to sleep. What does it say? Yeah, Taylor.
Pray.
So tonight, before you go to bed, I want you guys to think about your prayers. Me and my little dog, we say our prayers together. I don't think she actually says them, but she listens. I do. I will sometimes turn to her and say, it's okay, it's time for our prayers. But we also should do something when we wake up. And a lot of people don't do this. We should give thanks for a new day. We should say our prayers in the morning as well. We should give thanks for the new day that God has blessed us with. So tonight, when you go to sleep, I know you'll probably remember to say your prayers when you go to bed. But when you get up in the morning, try to remember to wake up with a smile and say, thank you, God, for the good night's sleep. And thank you for the things that you have in store for me this day. So try to remember that, okay? Hey, and also don't forget, we're supposed to obey our parents. So when they say bedtime, no complaints. All right? They know what they're talking about. Hey, let's say a little prayer before you go back with Miss Michelle. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful life you've given us. We know that the Creator has created us to need rest, and that we do need, and with that better rest, we can become better Christians. Help remind us to say our prayers at bedtime, but also when we awake, to say prayers and to say blessings for the day ahead. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, have yourself a good week, okay? So, yeah, I didn't sleep well last night. Things happened. But it's a beautiful day, and I said, thank you, Lord, when I got up this morning. It's going to be a gorgeous day. It's not humid, a little breezy, a little cool. It's a blessed day. So we have a wonderful anniversary in the house, and I'm so excited for you guys. How many years?
62.
62. Wow. So it'd probably be inappropriate if I called him Dad. Because I'm 62. So congratulations, guys. So wonderful that you're celebrating that special day here with us. Any more praises in the house? How about concerns that we can take to the Lord? I know that May Schools is not doing well, and I think everybody's well aware of that. The bone cancer is starting to spread, so that's not good news. And she's on pain medication to help ease her pain, but we'll just wish God to place a hand on her that she can be at least at peace and comfort. Anybody else? I don't want to take up all your time today. I tend to talk a little bit when it comes to the people I care about. Anybody else here?
Well, I talked to Jody this morning.
How's Jody doing?
And she said just a little better.
Good. I get excited over waffles, too. So. Okay. Thank you for sharing. Trudy, how's Douglas today?
About the same.
About the same? Well, we wish him well. We wish him well. Anybody else have anything else to share this morning? Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm hidden over here. I couldn't see. I like praises. Wow. God is good. God is good. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we come to you as the one that we come to with all of our concerns, with all of our thanksgivings, with all of our joys, because you're there to care for us. And we know that you want us to come to you and to share all these different things with you because you've given us this gift of prayer, the greatest thing you've done for us besides our salvation. And you've given us your word, Lord, the written word that we have that came through the prophets and came through the disciples and others and apostles, those that you, through your Holy Spirit, inspired to give us your word, that we may have it written down, that we may have it to find comfort in. We might, as we study it, we find that you speak to us through it, and we know it's there for us to use to share with others. We know that we're supposed to witness out in the world, and we're to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's guiding, because there are many opportunities that he presents to us that we can share with others about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But also to be careful of how we do it, and to know that there are those that we're going to reject it, but to know that that's not our responsibility. Ours is only to share, and that it's the Holy Spirit and his conviction that does the rest of the work. And we pray, Father, for all those that we've mentioned here today. We know there are those ill of health, struggling with disease and injury. We pray that your healing hand would be upon each of them. Give them comfort and peace. Ease the pains. And where possible, bring them back to us in whole health and back to the fellowship. And we pray, Father, also for those who recently lost loved ones, that they need your comforting hand today. They need your love in a special way. And we pray now, as we go through this service, we're intent upon listening to you, what you have to say to us, and that we will go out of here being obedient servants to you in this lost and dying world. For this we all pray in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.
Our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 92, Oh How I Love Jesus. Stand as we sing.
Thank you.
was a church in the conference that asked for a new minister every year. You know, that's what the Methodists do. In the same conference, they had a minister who asked for a new church every year. The bishop decided to sign the minister who had wanted another church each year to the church that wanted a new minister every year. To his surprise, for 3 years, there was no request. He said, "I don't understand," commented the bishop to a member of the church. "He always wanted a new preacher every year until this preacher came. You've had him 3 years. How do you account for that?" One of the members said, "Bishop, if you really want to know, our church didn't want no preacher to start with, and this man you sent us was the nearest thing to no preacher we ever had." Words are not in vain. A highwayman once stopped John Wesley and demanded his money or his life. Wesley, after giving the man the money, said, "Let me speak one word to you. The time may come when you will regret the course of life in which you are now engaged. Remember this, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin." No more was said, and they parted. Many years after, as Wesley was going out of a church in which he had been preaching, a stranger introduced himself and asked Wesley if he remembered being waylaid at such a time. He said he recollected it. He said, "I was that man," said the stranger, "and the single verse you quoted on that occasion was the means of a total change in my life and habits. I've long since been in the practice of attending the house of God and giving attention to His Word, and trust that I am a Christian." Here, well, we've been through Easter. We've had a couple of weeks break in the Sermon on the Mount. But if you were here, you remember the previous verses that we looked at on the Sermon on the Mount talked about not being judgmental and criticizing others. But now we're going to look at verse 6 here in chapter 7. Jesus says we must judge or discern. As God's people, we're privileged to handle the holy things of the Lord. He has entrusted us to precious truths of the Word of God. We must regard them carefully. No dedicated priest would throw meat from the altar to a filthy dog, and only a fool would give pearls to a pig. While it is true we must carry the gospel to everyone, it is also true that we must not cheapen the gospel by a ministry that lacks discernment. The reason for judgment, then, is not that we might condemn others, but that we might be able to minister to them. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, just one verse today, as casting pearls before the swine. So if you got pew Bibles now, so if you want to don't have your own, you want to look that up and get to Matthew 7, chapter verse 6. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." We are to share the gospel. That's the primary thing that we're to do after being a Christian and worshiping God. We're to share the gospel. We're to share the good news about Jesus Christ. Jesus commanded it. It's a command. It's not a "let me suggest to you" or "if you would like to" or whatever. It's a command. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. That's Matthew 28:19-20. That is the Great Commission. Then in Acts 1:8, he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." As a Christian, we have a responsibility to witness. There's several ways that we witness. One of the first ways we witness is right here today. You come to worship God and to praise Him and to be a part of the fellowship in this service this morning. That is the first thing that you witness. People know that you go and attend worship. The second thing you do that's responsible in witnessing is how you live your life. How you live. And people must see Jesus in you. They must see the Christian attributes in you. And you must be always on guard to be careful of how you respond to things, what you say, and so forth. And then thirdly, we're to witness with our lips. And we're going to look at this now as how we go about this and so forth. But we have to also, that's why it's important that we study our Bibles, that we remember scriptures, that we use the appropriate scriptures when and where we can. We're to witness to everyone. We're to witness to everyone. We never know what will come of it. If you're familiar with Jonah, I call him the reluctant evangelist, or the reluctant missionary, whatever you want to call it. You know, God called him to go preach to the people in Nineveh. Well, Jonah was a bigot. Those weren't his kind of folks. So what did he do? He got on a ship and went the other way. He thought he could run from God. He found out different. Of course, you know, they cast him overboard. It's a big fish. All this is a big fish that God prepared. So I call it whatever you want to call it. But it was a big fish prepared by God. Swallowed him up. And of course, he spit him up on dry land. And then he realized that wherever he was at, in the depths of the ocean, in the belly of that fish, wherever he couldn't run from God. God's everywhere. And so Jonah went. And Jonah preached. In Jonah 3, 4, and 5, and Jonah began to enter in the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 4 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them all. Any evangelist would have been wonderful, awed at such a response. The people responded to God's word. The people were saved, so to speak. You think Jonah was happy about it? Oh, no. He went and sulked under the tree. You know, God had to deal with him again. But that's what happens when we share the gospel. You never know what's going to happen. No one ever asked me, the fellow said. St. Louis years ago, a Christian was transacting business with a lawyer. As the Christian businessman turned to go, he said, I have often wanted to ask you a question, but I have been a coward. Why, replied the lawyer. He said, I did not think you were afraid of anything. What is the question? The businessman then asked the lawyer point blank, sir, why are you not a Christian? The lawyer hung his head. Is there not something in the Bible that says no drunkard shall have any part in the kingdom of God? You know my weakness. You have not answered my question, asked the question. I am asking you, are you not a Christian? Well, answered the lawyer, I cannot recall that anyone ever asked me such a question before. Of this I am sure nobody ever told me to become one. The Christian businessman then read passages from the Bible and suggested simply, let's go down and pray. Kneeling, the lawyer prayed first. Oh Lord, you know that I am a slave to drink. This morning the businessman, you servant, has shown me the way to thee. O God, break the power of this evil habit in my life. Later, the lawyer with the besetting sin testified that God broke that power of drink instantly. You know who that lawyer was? Dr. C.I. Schofield, the famous editor of the Schofield Reference Bible. We must know how to share Christ with people of all backgrounds. Jesus approached Nicodemus. Nicodemus, they had an intellectual talk. You remember he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, what, I got to go back in my mother's womb and do it all over again? He said, no, you don't understand. You got to be born from above. You got to be born of the Spirit. He was talking to an intellectual. Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well with simple parables. Remember he told her about the Spirit? The Spirit's like the wind, it comes and goes. Zacchaeus, remember Zacchaeus? I called him Shorty. He was a tax collector. You know, we don't like IRS people, do we? But back then, they were hated even worse because, you see, when what they collected, they'd get a percentage. And so they sometimes would collect more than they should. And they were not, if little Shorty, Zacchaeus, if he would gotten that crowd there when Jesus was coming into town, they would have elbowed him, kicked him, you know, hit him, everything they could to abuse him. So what did he do? He got up in the tree so he could see Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? He simply said, Zacchaeus, come down out of the tree. I'm going home to have dinner with you today. Oh, the thought of that. Jesus was going home with a sinner to have dinner. The Pharisees, oh, he had some words for them. He said, you hypocrites, you whitewashed sepulchers. You know, calling them, you know, like caskets, dead. He had a way to come on with them. Then the woman caught in adultery. They brought her in there. Notice something, all this, where was the man? It, like my mother used to say, it takes two to tango. Where was the man? It took two to commit adultery. But they were trying to trap Jesus. But then Jesus said, you know, what did he say? Let him who has not sinned cast the first stone. And then he got down to scribble some stuff in the sand. And what people, they all wandered off when Jesus looked back up. The only one, the lady was standing there. He said, where are your accusers? I don't know. But what did Jesus tell her? Now, a lot of people don't, they think, well, Jesus forgave, you know, this adulteress. Yes, he did, but they forget the fine print. I call it the fine print in the contract. Go and sin no more. And so she went. All need the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. The morally blind, the insensitive, the intellectual pride, the cynic who mocks, and the hardened sinner, they all need it. Now, there will be those who will reject the gospel, and we can't determine who will and how they will respond. Our responsibility is to share. It's up to the Holy Spirit to convict them and to them to respond to the Holy Spirit. Their receptivity to the gospel and results is up to them and God alone. We're only asked to share. A lot of us, and I know, and I've run through this in my ministry over the years, a lot of people are afraid of rejection. But that rejection is not your responsibility. I know we don't like rejection, but God has asked us to do our part, and our part is to share. Caution, there are dogs and hogs. A dog in Jesus' day was not a domesticated animal. I don't think you'd have been sleeping with a puppy then. I have two cats. I don't sleep with them no more because I have to close the door when I go to bed at night because they want to start breakfast about 5 o'clock and I'm not ready at 5 o'clock. They were scavengers and they would turn on you. Then there's the hog. That's the unclean animal. You know, the Jew, you know, that was the bottom of the barrel there, the hog. We love pork today, don't we? You know, oh, bacon, sausage, all that stuff, you know. I can think scrapple, you know. And I have to, my mother used to fix pickled peas feet. Oh, I can't find them anymore. You know, but she used to fix pickled peas feet. Love that stuff. But anyway, to them, it was unclean. It was not allowed. There are those who will turn on you and the gospel. They will treat the gospel with contempt. I don't know, you've probably found that out sometime sooner or later out there in the world. There are those who will oppose. They oppose rescue missions. They don't like the distribution of tracts and Bibles. One time, I remember, there was a thing we were having some years ago when I was pastoring in Chesapeake. we were handing out Bibles or New Testaments, and we were going door to door in the neighborhoods. We had ordered cases of them and going. And most people we would come to would receive them, and we would invite them to church. And but one day we came to this one fellow. My son was with me at the time, and he was walking with me. And we went to this one man refused it. He wouldn't take it. So I just respectfully said, okay. And we left. And we got down. Dad, what's wrong with that man? He wouldn't take a Bible. The man had a lot of problems. So. They oppose street services and services in prison. They even oppose sending out missionaries. You know, we're not supposed to go out and share. We're not supposed to say anything. We're not supposed to proclaim the gospel. You know what's gotten to where now? You can't share in the workplace. You have to be careful where you go and what you do. I can remember, and I have some, when I was in school, I got that little Gideon's Testament. They're not allowed to go in schools and hand them out no more. You know what they have to do? They have to stand across the street from the school and hand them out to kids when they're walking home. But I've got some of those little Gideon Bibles. I was given one when I went in the Navy. It's one of the things they gave me in boot camp was a Gideon Bible. And it's a special one. It's marked that way. But they don't want you to do that. Here's the results of a tract ministry. A man was giving out gospel tracts on a passenger liner. One gentleman, when he approached, accepted a tract graciously but said, "I haven't much faith in this kind of work." The Christian worker replied, "It was through a gospel tract given to me 20 years ago that I was converted." Asking for particulars, the gentleman discovered that it was he who had given him the tract. He had ceased to do so because he saw so few results from his efforts. He added, "But by the grace of God, I shall start again." How do we handle it? Know when to call it quits and move on. Matthew 10:12-14. "And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whatsoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet." Go on. Mark 6:11. "And whosoever shall not receive you and nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust and under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in this day of judgment than for that city." Luke 9:5. "And whosoever shall not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." Don't give what is holy to dogs and hogs. Jesus before Herod. This is Luke 23:8-11. "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen more miracles done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but Jesus answered nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate." Herod was only interested in entertainment. He wanted a show. There were many people in Jesus' day, but Jesus wouldn't give them a show. Jesus was ridiculed. Herod ridiculed him and his people. But Jesus didn't throw what was holy to this dog. Jesus knew it would be an exercise in futility. I had an opportunity one time. In fact, a fellow Christian, this fellow was working with this at this part-time job. And we sat down. This fellow was not a Christian. In fact, he told us that his son was a Christian, and his son told him he didn't accept Jesus. He was going to hell. His son just pointed out, told him that. So we sat there and tried to share the gospel with him, and he just wasn't hearing any of it. And he didn't believe that Jesus even existed. And I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, how do you know Julius Caesar existed? How do you know Alexander the Great existed? How do you know George Washington existed? How do you know Abraham? You've not seen any one of those. I said, why? But I said, why do we know that? The same way with Jesus. They're recorded in history. You know what his answer was? History lies. So what do you do with it? That's it. I learned something. You don't win an argument with an idiot. You don't.
Or your wife.
Acts 13:44-49. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light unto the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, Lord, and as many were ordained of eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. The rejectors of the gospel were rejected. Paul refused to argue with them. He knew it was pointless. He knew it was useless. You're wasting your time with hogs and dogs. Arguing them will get you nowhere. I don't know if you ever had the experience. I've had it with Mormons and Jehovah's both. And I've gotten to the point that I used to say, okay, I'll listen to what you got to say, then you got to listen to me. But what will happen is when it comes your turn, they don't want to hear it, they depart. So now I just start out and set point. Do you know this? John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God, with a capital G. That's saying that Jesus Christ is God. They believe that Jesus Christ is a created being like an angel. And they have their own translation of the Bible that God at the end is with a little g. And so I argue that point with them right at the start. I don't argue, I just proclaim it. And I said, he is God. And I said, he is the eternal Son of God. And I said, that's it right there. Now, if you won't accept it, then that's it. They can't handle it. They're gone because they don't have no answer to that. Arguing with them will get you nowhere. They will trample the things that are holy. They are undeserving of the pearls. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the gospel, glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Peter 1:9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through their ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You never know who will respond. One need not to look no further than Mel Trotter to see how unreasonable interpretations really are of some folks. Mel Trotter's father was a saloon keeper and a drunkard. Mel often tended the bar for his father. At age 19, Mel started drinking and gambling. He lost his job. After several bouts with drinking, he was finally sent to the hospital. He was given treatment for alcoholism, discharged, and handed a medical kit. 15 minutes later, he traded the kit for 3 drinks of whiskey. Even after the birth of his son, Trotter continued to drink. On returning a 10-day drinking spree, he found his son dead in the arms of his wife. "I will never take another drop," he promised his wife as hot tears streamed down his face. But 2 hours after the baby's funeral, Trotter staggered home, drunk again. On a cold January night, Trotter staggered through the streets of Chicago with the intention of ending his life in the icy waters of Lake Michigan. Aimlessly, he wandered through the doors of the Pacific Garden Mission. There he heard the gospel of Christ proclaimed as a man said, "Jesus loves you." The speaker looked squarely at Mel Trotter and said, "Make room in your heart for him tonight." 3 years later, after his conversion, he was appointed superintendent of a rescue mission in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He spent more than 40 years there telling others of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. During his time, he used the large Grand Rapids mission as a base to start 66 other gospel missions in America, all designed to proclaim the simple gospel of Jesus Christ in a rescue mission, just as was proclaimed to him in the greatest sanctuaries. True, we should not be judgmental of others, but we must be discerning as to how and whom we share the gospel. Remember Kenny Rogers? He had a song, and this is my favorite part. I know it has to do with gambling, but he said, "Know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run." How true it is. Have you received the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart? Do you know him today? Do you know he died for you? Do you know you're forgiven of your sins? And do you know he loves you so much and that he will be with you even into eternity? I can't think of a greater thing. The most important thing we do in our lives. I know there are important things that we look at. We as we're growing up, we look at, you know, graduations. Then I know with me, as a young man, I looked at, important thing was I found my life's mate. Wedding and so forth. I can remember standing at after the wedding, standing there at the door as, you know, everybody walked out. And I remember my mother's youngest sister, my aunt, coming up to me, and I remember just breaking out in tears of joy. It was a great event in my life, and I spent 50 years and 5 months with her, and then, of course, she went home. The time that I spent at the seminary was a great time. The time that I graduated from that, left it. But the greatest, most important thing that has happened in my life has been as a 12-year-old boy accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amen. That's the most important thing. Do you know for sure today that he's your Lord and Savior? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the teachings of Jesus here to tell us that we need to be discerning how we handle your word and how we share it with others. We know there are those that we must just be simple with, and that it's not our responsibility how they respond, but just ours to share and to know when there are those that we can share the deeper things with. But they first have to become one of your children and receiving you and knowing the Holy Spirit before they can receive the deeper things. And we pray if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, is not sure, would do so today at this time of invitation. For this we all do in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. 480, only trust him.
He will surely give you rest.
Amen. I trust you received a word from the Lord today. Take that home and look at it some more and try to put it into use. Okay? I'll go to this door today. Okay? And so I'm going to walk over here and I'll do the benediction, and then we can, and may the Lord go with you. Let me get back here. No, he's with me all the time, brother. I know that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this opportunity to be with you in fellowship with one another. And we pray now that we go and share this fellowship out in the world, that fellowship brought together by your Son, Jesus Christ. And keep us and protect us till we come back together, for we go in Jesus' name. Amen.